Good morning, friends, and welcome to the Gospel of Grace broadcast. We are thankful to have the opportunity to bring to you, after 30 years of broadcasting, the reassuring message of God's free and sovereign grace. This broadcast is sponsored by the McClenny Primitive Baptist Church. You can receive additional information about this ministry and the doctrines of grace at www.mcclennypbc.com or by calling 904-259-7806. Pray as we go forward together this morning into God's Word. Please stay tuned for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to the Gospel of Grace broadcast. It's a sweet privilege to have the opportunity to share with you the glorious truths of God's Word, especially those doctrines that underscore the truth of God's amazing grace. Sovereign grace. God is on the throne in sovereign grace, dispensing the glories and the beauties of His grace and kindness toward His children. And so we look forward to that privilege this morning. Before we begin, it's time for us to begin sharing with you. Upcoming services are going to take place at McClenny Primitive Baptist Church starting on June the 7th, the 8th, and the 9th. June the 7th at 7 p.m., Saturday, June the 8th at 10:30 a.m. in service after lunch. We'll provide lunch Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. We'll have a time of fellowship. We'll have a fish fry Saturday evening fellowship and hymn singing, and we'll eat at 6 o'clock on Saturday the 8th. We'll be announcing that as the weeks go along leading up to that. But don't forget, the annual meeting at McClenny Primitive Baptist Church, it will take place on June the 7th at 7 p.m. And the 8th at 10:30 a.m. Right after lunch, we'll have service. Lunch is provided. Then a fish fry that evening, fellowship, and Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. The Lord willing, Elder Danny Parker from Danville, Virginia, an able minister of the gospel, has been serving the Lord's people for many years very faithfully. Elder Danny Parker will be in service with us, along with Elder Luke Hagler, who is a younger gift, and he's from the Tuscaloosa, Alabama area. Elder Luke Hagler, who's a very dear man, very fervent disciple and servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's used both of these men to the glory of His great name, and we look forward to having them in service with us along with others. Make plans to come, invite, bring someone with you. It's a wonderful time to introduce them to the doctrines of grace if you know someone that you love. I can't think of a better gift you could give anyone that you love than to share the truth of God with them, especially in public worship. So please pray for those services. We need the rich blessing of God's Spirit. And He's always been so good to us at McClenny Church, and we have no reason to believe that He'd be otherwise. But we need His blessing. We need the Holy Spirit to condescend and make one in our midst. So please pray. You can go to our website if you'd like, and we'll have that meeting. If you want the logistics, if you'd like the logistics of the meeting, you can find them on our website, which is mcclennypbc.com, mcclennypbc.com. Now, not only do we have the meeting listed on that website, but also we have messages that have been preached at McClenny Church, and so we have the ministry of God's Word there as well, so we certainly invite you to go there. Okay, now let's go together to God's Word, Deuteronomy 32:9, one of my favorite portions and passages of Scripture. One of the purposes of this broadcast, as McClenny Primitive Baptist Church clearly understands it, is to be a voice that's different on the radio waves. So much theology, the great preponderance of theology biblical teaching that is on the airwaves, that is in printed media, is man-centered. That is, that man drives the business of salvation and what is going on in this world. Redemption is at the whim and the choice, at the will of man. God's will is not primary, but man's will is primary. But we're going to see that that is not what the Word of God teaches. Again, and we've gone through these truths, plowed through these truths many times together if you're a faithful listener, but we hope to plow through them again many times in the future as well. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 9. The Lord's portion is His people. Jacob is the lot of His inheritance. It's pretty straightforward language, isn't it? There are two phrases there. The Lord's portion is His people. Jacob is the lot of His inheritance. Now, this verse brings forth a most blessed and wonderful line of truth, so wonderful that no human mind could possibly have invented it. It speaks of Almighty God having an inheritance. It's amazing. Isn't that incredible? And it tells us that this inheritance is in His own people. God refused to take this natural physical world for His inheritance. This earth one day, in 2 Peter 3 we learn, the earth and all the works therein shall be burned up. But don't worry, God's got something far better than this earth, this sin-cursed earth in store for us. But God doesn't take this physical world for His inheritance. No, He takes His people. God did not take heaven peopled with angels to satisfy His heart. You think about that. God did not set His delight in His affection. He did not make His inheritance those heavenly beings, angels. No. In eternity past, Jehovah said, by way of anticipation, and we read it in Proverbs 8:31, He said, "My delights were with the sons of men." That struck me when I was a young preacher, and it strikes me till this day. God said that His delights were with the sons of men, fallen, ruined, rebel creatures. It's beyond amazing. Now, this is by no means the only scripture which teaches that God's inheritance is in His saints. God's inheritance is in His saints. God has an inheritance. It's in His saints. Psalm 135:4 says, "For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto Himself and Israel for His peculiar treasure." Now, New Testament readers, New Testament believers, any time in the Old Testament you read about God's people being called collectively Jacob or Israel, you can just put in its place covenant people. It's pointing forward to all of God's covenant people, both Jew and Gentile. And in the New Testament, that is revealed so powerfully. So New Testament readers can look back and read it this way: "For the Lord hath chosen His covenant people unto Himself, and His covenant people for His peculiar treasure." And all of God's family is His covenant people. We were given to Him in the covenant of grace before the world was, and we are His peculiar treasure. He hath chosen His people unto Himself. Malachi 3:17, the Lord speaks of His people as a special treasure, so special that the highest manifestations of His love are made to them, and the richest gifts of His hand are bestowed upon them. And our dwelling places on high are prepared and reserved by Him for them. That same wondrous truth is taught in the New Testament. In Ephesians 1, we behold the Apostle Paul praying that God would give unto his people the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him to this end, so that the eyes of his people's understanding being enlightened, that they might know, listen, what is the hope of God's calling them, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Where does Paul say God's inheritance is? It's in the saints. Who are the saints? His covenant people. Those people that he loved and treasured up in Christ before the world was. Both Jews and Gentiles. All manner of people. Every kindred, every tongue, every people, every nation on the face of the earth. So this is a truly amazing expression to me. Not only do God's people, and we always think about inheritance, we think about our inheritance, and you have one as a child of God. You're an heir of God and joint heir with Jesus Christ. Paul's clear about that in Romans 8. That's the way we always think about it, that the saints obtain an inheritance in God. But listen, he also secures an inheritance in them. How overwhelming the thought that the great God should deem himself the richer because of our faith and love and worship. That's one of the most marvelous truths revealed in the Holy Writ, that God should pick up poor sinners and make them his inheritance. Yet it is. But what need does God have of us? How can we possibly enrich him? Doesn't he have everything, wisdom and power and grace and glory? That's true, he does. He is God all by himself. In his solitariness, he is God. Yet, the sun has the earth to shine upon, correct? God has made vessels to fill. He has created vessels, his people, through which his glory is going to be reflected. Vessels on which the riches of his grace are going to be lavished. Notice that God's people are not just called his portion, his special treasure, but also his inheritance. That means three things. First, an inheritance is obtained through death, and so God's inheritance is secured to him through the death of his beloved Son. And then when you think of an inheritance past necessitating a death, then you think about an inheritance as something that kind of smacks of perpetuity to a man and his heirs forever, some language is written in wills. Those terms are often used. It denotes perpetuity. And then the inheritance is for possession. It's something that is to be entered into, lived upon, enjoyed. And so God himself purposed to have such an inheritance. Listen to what David said in Psalm 33. We all know this verse, don't we? Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Now let me say this. God hath chosen a people for his own inheritance. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. You say, well, what nation is God's nation today? Let me say this, and I don't want to offend anybody. There is no nation on the face of the earth today that was God's nation like Israel was in the Old Testament. You know who God's nation is today? God's nation is the nation that the Apostle Peter talks about in 1 Peter chapter 2. It's the holy nation. All of the family of God that's on the face of the earth at any given time who've been called out, quickened, born again by the power of the Spirit of God. That's whose nation that is blessed of God today. The people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. God has his own inheritance. The chosen generation, the royal priesthood, the peculiar people, the holy nation of 1 Peter 2. And this favored people was chosen by God to be his inheritance. It was not an afterthought with him, but decreed by him in eternity past. And so even before the foundation of the world, God fixed his heart upon having them for himself. And he made plans and purposed and designs and brought about, fetched the glorious designs of the covenant of redemption, because God purposed to have an inheritance. He purposed to have an inheritance, and he's purchased his people for an inheritance. You're part of God's inheritance today. It's because he purposed to have you, and he purchased to have you. In Ephesians 1:14, we're told this, that the Holy Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of his glory. You are God's purchased possession as his inheritance. And so we read again in Acts 20 that we are the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. God has not only redeemed his people from bondage and death, but he's redeemed them for himself. He will have you. You're going to be his inheritance. And then God comes and dwells in the midst of his inheritance. The psalmist said in Psalm 94, "For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance." There's a clear proof that these scriptures is not just referring to the nation of Israel after the flesh, the seed of Abraham. Just as Jehovah tabernacled in the midst of the redeemed Hebrews, so he now indwells his church both collectively and individually. Paul said, "Know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" That's in the plural. Ye, God's people, are the temple of God. Then in verse 19 of 1 Corinthians 6, he says, "Know you not that your body, singular, is the temple of the Holy Spirit?" So he dwells, the Spirit of God dwells collectively in the church and dwells individually in the inheritance of God, believers. He's purposed them. He's purchased them. He dwells in them. And then notice this. This is lovely. God will possess, live upon, enjoy. He's going to possess them. In the unending, that means we're going to be in his presence. Listen to this. I love this. Romans chapter 9, verse 23. In the unending ages that are yet to be, God will make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of his mercy. That's God's plan for you, child of God. As a part of his inheritance, you are going to get the riches of his glory. Can you imagine that? How rich will that be? You have the riches of God's glory. The glory of God's the epitome of everything that you have, of everything that he is. God's glory, I'm going to say that again, God's glory is the epitome of everything that he is, and you're going to have the riches of the epitome of everything that God is, because he's going to make that known, Paul said in Romans 9, on the vessels of his mercy. The glory which God shall ever live upon, as upon an inheritance, is going to rise out of his people. That's amazing. What a marvelous statement. It's found at the close of the second chapter of the book of Ephesians, where Paul says the saints are going to be likened unto a building that is fitly framed together and groweth into an holy temple in the Lord, of whom it said, "In whom you're builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." That's amazing. John saw it this way in Revelation 21, God possessing his inheritance. "I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven, the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with man. There it is. God's tabernacle, the tabernacle of God. His Son is with men. That's going to be heaven. We'll rest in His love. He'll joy over us with singing. God Himself shall be with them and be their God. That's a marvelous statement in Zephaniah 3. Heard a young preacher. That's the reason I love to hear young preachers. They, you know, it's wonderful to hear seasoned men. We need to hear seasoned men. But I'm, you know, I hear brothers that have been speaking for a year or two, you know, a couple of years. And, you know, I've heard folks, well, I don't want to hear them when they're just getting started. I want to wait till they're seasoned. They got something to say. No, God works with young ministers in very wonderful ways. In incredibly wonderful ways. And they see things at times that old seasoned preachers just can't see. And I heard a very young minister here maybe a year or so ago. And he spoke from this verse and brought things to my heart. He was talking about how much the Lord loves His people and delights in His people. And that's really the gist of what we're talking about, that you are God's inheritance. He loves you and He delights in you because you're inheritance. And He's made you lovely and beautiful. He's put the riches of His glory upon you and made you as lovely and glorious as He is. Now listen to this. The young preacher read this verse. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. And he pointed out that God is in our midst and He's mighty. He will save thee. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in His love. He will joy over thee with singing. And the young preacher said, you know how sometimes you just get so exhilarated that you just let out a burst of song like, yes, you know, you just start singing. You get happy about something. I do it in my home. I'll just get real happy and I'll sing a song that comes to my mind. Or I'll be in my car. I get great news and I'll sing, you know, la, 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 yes. And he painted that picture of God in heaven when he gets all of his family together. He says that he's going to joy over us with singing. I about came off of my pew when he said that. I saw then in a very vivid, clear way just how much God does love me. Just how much He does rejoice in the fact. I can't understand it. It's amazing to me, but God loves me. Whenever I get to heaven with all the family of God, He's going to joy over me with singing. I'm satisfied. Here will I rest. Listen to this. This is what He said. I'm satisfied. Here will I rest. This is mine inheritance that I will live upon forever. Even the glory which I've bestowed. Isn't that incredible? Surely we have to say with the psalmist, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's high. I can't attain to it. That's amazing. God rejoicing over us as His inheritance. Think about it. He could have had angels. Angels are fitted for glory. He could have cast His love on them. Now, certainly He cares for angels, and He's well pleased with angels. But there's a difference in caring for something and being well pleased with something. Let me say it this way. I was a high school principal for many years and a principal of a K-12 school before that. I cared greatly for the students that were there. And there were many that I was well pleased with. And I see them today doing well. I still have students that reach their arms out of drive-through windows in local restaurants to hug my neck, give me a high five. Mr. C, I love it. I couldn't walk through the crowd at graduation the other night, hugging necks as I went through. I'm well pleased with them. I'm very well pleased with them. But let me say, there's a blonde-headed, blue-eyed boy. Well, he's a man now. He was a boy when I started out many years ago with you all. But today's a young man, and I'm not just well pleased with him. I rejoice over him with singing. You see, he's my son, and he brings a joy to me as much as I love other children on the face of the earth. I do. But John Anthony Boo Crawford, we call him Boo, he was born on Halloween. That boy brings joy to my heart in a way that nobody else in this world can when my only son does those things which are well-pleasing to the Lord. And thankfully, he's been a great source of joy in my life. He loves the Lord. He's a strong disciple, great witness for the Lord at a public university, and I'm thankful for it, and I joy and delight over him. But let me say, my joying and delighting over him is absolutely nothing. It is feeble and frail. If you moms and dads that have obedient children, you know, Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 1 that an obedient child is like a golden chain, an ornament around your neck. It's delightful, wonderful. But I'm telling you, the joy that you have, the sweetest joy that you have rejoicing over your child that's been obedient and pleasing is nothing compared to the joy that God has for you. That's right. You say, well, I just can't believe that God could joy over me. Brother Crawford, I've been such a great sinner. I brought shame and reproach again and again on his name. Join the club. We all have. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. You see, the reason God's going to joy and rejoice over you in heaven ultimately is not because of anything that you've done. It is because of what Christ has done for you. Christ has covered your sins and put on you his robe of righteousness and made you just as lovely as he is. And the Father's going to rejoice in you for Jesus' sake. May the Lord bless you is my prayer.
As we bid you farewell today, please remember to tune in next week to this channel at the same time for the Gospel of Grace broadcast. This broadcast is sponsored by the McClenny Primitive Baptist Church. You can receive additional information about this ministry and the doctrines of grace at www.mcclennypbc.com or by calling 904-259-7806. Please pray for us. And until next week, may the Lord richly bless you all is our prayer.